So I've covered a lot of stuff today dealing with the Longhorns. Again, if you missed it, you can go to the podcast page at hornfm.com and get Hour 1's Longhorn Notebook and Hour 1 of this show. And Snoop will have this Longhorn Notebook and Hour 2 posted whenever we're done here today before we hand it off, after we hand it off to Shirts and Skins, and he's able to get that turned around. But a couple of business items. Cameron Dicker, we reported this last night at Horns 24/7. It's official today. He is declared for the 2022 NFL Draft. He is gone, adding him to the list of Longhorns that are not going to take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. Texas hosting Isaiah Nair, the Wyoming wide receiver transfer committed to Tennessee, hosting him today. A 24/7 Sports crystal ball transfer portal prediction coming in for Jalen Moody, the Alabama linebacker. Also talked Longhorn basketball in the loss last night to Kansas State, and back to football. Hour number one's Longhorn Notebook. We talked about early enrollees and the kind of impact that a Quinn Ewers or a B.J. Allen, Terrence Brooks, Jalen Gilbo, Justice Finkley, Cole Hudson, the type of impact that those guys can have now that they are on campus for the spring semester, going through winter conditioning for the Longhorns, which is underway. So, Gary Patterson, we've talked about this, I don't know, late November, early December is when this stuff really started to pick up steam, that Gary Patterson might seriously be interested in working at Texas in some capacity. So I'll just follow along. You can go to Horns 24/7, get all of the recruiting stuff I just talked about. My colleague Mike Roach had an update on Devon Campbell, the five-star lineman out of Arlington Bowie last night. You can go get that. But this is Chip Brown's Morning Brew column. My colleague Chip Brown released this morning about Gary Patterson. He was at the Texas K-State game last night. Processing Patterson's paperwork to make his hire official has taken more time than expected. But he is in Austin, as I've talked about on this show, and what I've heard, he's in Austin, he's been on campus, he's been at the 6:30 a.m. off-season workouts, he's helping evaluate 2023 targets ahead of Junior Day, and pretty much anything else Steve Sarkisian asks him to do. But this quote that Chip got from Gary Patterson, I think really frames, and I think you can look at this really positively. If you're on the positive side of the fence about Gary Patterson, I don't think this is going to impact you all that much. If you're on the fence wondering, is this good? Will this work? Maybe this pushes you over to the good side of the fence. And I think if you're on the side of the fence, this won't work for a number of reasons. Maybe this pushes you a little more towards the middle and gives you some optimism. This is from Gary Patterson. Quote, "I want to be for Sark what Dick Tomey was for Mack Brown." Now, go back to 2004. Go back in the Wayback Machine, this time in 2004. So what would that be, Snoop? 18 years ago?
Yes, I can do that math.
How was that 18 years ago that this happened? Ugh, time flies. At any rate, got to think about where Texas was at that point. You're coming off of a 10-3 season that ended with a pretty embarrassing Holiday Bowl loss to Washington State. One of those bowl games where, and keep in mind how that 0-3 season went leading up to that bowl game. Texas just runs roughshod over Texas A&M at Kyle Field. And the assumption is, man, Oklahoma's going to boat race K-State in the Big 12 championship game. Texas is going to be in a BCS bowl for the first time in program history in the BCS era. They're going to go to a BCS bowl. Most likely, if I remember right, would have been the Fiesta Bowl. But that didn't happen because K-State decided to upset Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma still makes the BCS title game. That pushes K-State for the Big 12's automatic bid into the Fiesta Bowl, and Texas gets pushed down to the Holiday Bowl. And that was one of those bowl games similar to Cal the following year with Aaron Rodgers, where Cal playing Texas Tech looked like they didn't really want to be there. Texas looked like a team in that 2003 Holiday Bowl that really didn't want to be there playing Washington State. And that's kind of half the battle in bowl season. But Texas loses that bowl game. They make the decision. Texas parts ways with Bull Reese. And at the time, you got to remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Greg Robinson's passing. Bull Reese really good defensive coordinator at Texas, fielded some nationally elite defenses, but it seemed like he had just not caught up to the culture of where the Big 12 was going in that spread culture. You bring in Greg Robinson, you bring in Dick Tomey, and Greg Robinson was going to get Texas caught up defensively to figuring out how do you defend these spread offenses. Because remember that 03 season, and Oklahoma picked Texas apart through the air. They had a hard time figuring out that Mike Leach air raid offense. Tech won the game in 02 in Lubbock. Texas needed Chance Mock to come save the day in 03, that game in Austin. So you bring in Greg Robinson to fix that. And you talk to guys that played on that national championship team that were there for the previous season, and they'll tell you a lot of the groundwork for that national title run was laid in that offseason with Greg Robinson and Dick Tomey. So Dick Tomey comes in with Greg Robinson in 2004. He helps transform the Texas program. The not our standards was a big thing Greg Robinson and Dick Tomey brought in and really upped the ante. Showed guys, look, yeah, you're working hard, but if you want to get to a championship level, an elite level, this is how hard you've got to work. This is the level you've got to push your body to. You've got to push your mind to. You've got to push your willingness to study, your willingness to sacrifice. You've got to push it to this elite level if you want to be an elite football team. Because Texas then and Texas now, you're trying to get two very different places. That Texas program was trying to get over the hump, trying to slay the dragon that was Oklahoma and go win a national championship. This Texas program right now, you're just trying to get back to where year in and year out you can be in the conversation, to where you can compete. So again, apples and pomegranates in terms of where the program is. But if that's what Gary Patterson wants to do, and again, from the time that all this rumor and innuendo started of Gary Patterson being intrigued by coming to work at Texas, that's what I had heard. He was really intrigued with helping Texas get better and helping Texas make this transition into the SEC. And again, the role that he's taking is a role he created at TCU for Jerry Kill to do some of the same things that he wants to do at Texas under Steve Sarkisian. He doesn't want to be the defensive play caller. He doesn't want to be on the road recruiting. At the same time, he wants to be a little bit more than what a traditional analyst is. So really, this is a role Gary Patterson created. And if you go back to when Mack Brown brought in Dick Tomey, like Gary Patterson, had a lot of skins on the wall. He was the all-time winningest head coach at two different programs, Hawaii and Arizona. He specialized in taking fixer-upper programs, turning them into winners. Don't forget that Arizona defense, Teddy Bruschi, chief among the guys that he had at the time. Dwayne Aquino was also with Dick Tomey at Arizona. That's the tie that binded Mack Brown, that bound Mack Brown and Dick Tomey was Dwayne Aquino. Similar to the way, because keep in mind, Steve Sarkisian and Gary Patterson don't know each other. What brought these two guys together was Chris Del Conte. But getting back to Dick Tomey, that Desert Swarm defense he had with Teddy Bruschi and those cats at Arizona, I remember they just bludgeoned Miami one year in the Fiesta Bowl. That was one of the better defenses in the country. And Gary Patterson and his wife, they've got a close relationship with the Lost Dodds. There's a healthy respect there for between Gary Patterson and Mack Brown. Patterson, and I'm, again, reading from Chip's story over at Horns 24/7, Patterson and Tomey came in and helped Texas just by observing everything and sharing his thoughts. It started with Tomey helping the strength staff preside over the team's early morning off-season conditioning workouts. That helped Tomey get to know the players, how they worked, how they needed to be motivated. And Patterson, Gary Patterson, again, was at the team's 6:30 workout on Tuesday. So I think this is really encouraging because I don't think this is a Greg Robinson, Manny Diaz situation where it's you're bringing in a guy that's a safety net in case your defensive coordinator bottoms out. I think you're bringing in a guy that can kind of kill two birds with one stone. Yes, you need somebody to help you get ready for the SEC, but you also need somebody that understands the league. And if there's one thing you can knock this Texas coaching staff for, one mark against them, it seemed like they really didn't understand the league they were coming into. And their unwillingness or inability, whatever it was, to make in-game adjustments. Like, keep in mind, Steve Sarkisian, those opening scripts, the first half plans offensively, even in a lot of those losses, were great. Pete Kwiatkowski's initial plan in the Oklahoma game was so good that it helped get Spencer Rattler knocked out of that game. Unfortunately, that became your undoing because you weren't prepared for Caleb Williams, but that's another story for another day. So this staff knows what they're doing. They can coach ball, but knowing the league, Gary Patterson has been in battle. He's been in plenty of battles with Brent Venables and some of those staff members that Oklahoma's got. Even Jeff Lebby, going back to his time at Baylor. He's been in battles with Matt Campbell. He's been in plenty of battles with Mike Gundy. He knows some of the guys on Joey McGuire's Texas Tech staff and knows what they bring to the table. And he's, you know, Zach Kittley's a Cliff Kingsbury disciple. Gary Patterson been in plenty of battles with Cliff Kingsbury. Gary Patterson's a K-State alum. He follows that program closely. He knows what Chris Klieman's all about. He can help Steve Sarkisian understand, hey, when you get ready to go into the second half against the game, if you're attacking Matt Campbell this way, here's his counterpunch to help you get ready to deliver your counterpunch. That's something Texas is really missing. Yes, Gary Patterson can help Terry Joseph on the back end, help him tie the coverage to the front with Pete Kwiatkowski's defense. Yes, he can really help you evaluate guys in recruiting, look at guys, their body types and their profiles, and say, look, if you're looking for an edge guy, I think you should take this guy instead of this guy, because this guy looks like he's physically close to tapped out, whereas this guy might have more room to grow based on my experience of developing NFL caliber edge rushers. He can help you recruit in the secondary. There's a lot of, in terms of evaluation, there's a lot of different things Gary Patterson can do. But I think just being a sounding board for Steve Sarkisian, like we've seen this happen in college sports too. I know Jit mentions the Dick Tomey thing, but one example that I go back to, and granted they're having a tough year this year, think about when Juwan Howard took the Michigan job. What was one thing he went and did, one critical hire he went and made? He went and hired Phil Martelli to a staff position. Phil Martelli, a longtime coach at St. Joe's, a lot of skins on the wall, won a lot of big-time college basketball games. What's one thing Juwan Howard lacked? He lacked experience. What's one thing Phil Martelli brought you in spades? Experience. And Michigan had one of the best teams in the country last year. Again, they're dealing with some of the same kind of portal chemistry issues Texas is dealing with. But that's a Juwan Howard's gotten that Michigan program turned around a lot because Phil Martelli has played a really big role in that. And that, to me, is the biggest thing that Gary Patterson is going to bring to the table. If he really wants to be a sounding board for Sark, and Sark can bounce things off of him, and if Gary Patterson can give that kind of honest feedback that you feel like he'll give, it can help Texas self-scout. It can help Texas evaluate internally. It can help them get ready for specific opponents. There's so many benefits to it if that's really how Gary Patterson is approaching this job. If that's really how he sees himself, if he sees himself as Steve Sarkisian's version of Dick Tomey, and that's how this thing progresses, then I think it's going to be a win for Texas. I think it's going to be a win for Steve Sarkisian. And I think you can see some of the major issues that we talk about in terms of what went wrong between the lines last season. I think you can see a lot of that get rectified in one offseason if Gary Patterson is that sounding board giving Steve Sarkisian some honest feedback. Take your questions on that and more on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Take a break, come back, and wrap up this edition of Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.